here it begins. Here comes the plague. Here comes the pandemic to kill us all. Ugh. I gotta tell you, the temptation really just to turn the lights off and just to play something soothing.
Can people just listen to us sleep?
And then just to go kind of, you know, quietly curl up in a corner somewhere for the rest of the day is almost overwhelming. Almost overwhelming. Okay, it's, God damn, it's only noon. It's
only three more hours to go.
I wish I was dead. It's 1 minute and 48 seconds after the hour of noon. Jesus. In this, the month of April, in the year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming by and making a part of your listening day live, regrettably. From the studios of Johnson at 70, a proud part of the... Sorry. Turning into Whitney
Houston.
Must
be all the smoke.
Something. Proud part of the CBS Radio family. This is Rick Emerson Show, kids. Thanks for coming along. Hey, if you wish you were dead, too, we'd love to hear from you. Scotty J's here. Make him work. I don't care if he's hungover or not. I don't care how he feels. I don't care if he wants to kill himself. Doesn't matter. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email me like it's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. I was trying to find like the worst possible thing to play at the top of the show. Something that was annoying and irritating and scrapey sounding. Something that was completely unpleasant and unendurable to hear when you're hungover or tired or feel like something the cat just threw up. I really decided I couldn't do worse than the sound of my own voice this morning, though. So this is what it is. This is what it is, kids. This is as good as this voice is going to get. And it's going to get a whole lot worse before the show is over. Oh. Well, hi. It's Friday, April 21st. It was a night, as they say last night. Last night, listener party 9. Geez, my ass. I can't even form, my mouth doesn't even want to work. It's not just my throat and the sort of red, inflamed, scrapey, kind of swollen hemorrhage sensation of my vocal cords. It's also just that I've reached that stage of having yelled so loud and so long and I don't even remember what all, that my mouth and my lips don't even really want to form words anymore. They're just sort of these rubbery appendages in the front of my face, and they don't really want to play along today. They're kind of the right lip doesn't know what the bottom lip is doing. You know what I mean? Last night, listener party 9 at Sabala's Mount Tabor. The photos have come in here. They're not posted yet. I don't have any photos posted at the moment.
I haven't seen any pictures. You should post some.
I'll get right on
many
that.
Many were taken.
I'll get right on that, like, as soon as I'm able to do this three-hour radio program today. And
it'll be a snap.
We want to thank everybody who came out last night. We thank everybody who attended, everybody who was there. The emails, fantastic. The email, and if you go to the MySpace, if you go to Rick Emerson, you go to my MySpace account, and I think the Rick Emerson Show MySpace account, you can get to all that stuff through rickemerson.com. The comments this morning, they run the gamut from these long, very eloquent, urbane letters about Rick. It was the best of times. It was a great, glorious achievement for all of humanity and a fantastic gathering of a communal tribal. And then there's a lot in there just like, and then it's a picture of like some chick lifting up her skirt.
And then there are letters from people who work at radio stations without live people saying they had a good time because they don't have anything like that to go to.
Did we see anybody that we know last night from other radio entities?
I couldn't see people's heads. It was just thousands of people at shoulder level for me.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Paul Halama was there.
Oh, your
and
voice
early.
Is so loud.
Oh, yeah.
Your voice is just echoing inside my head like a nut inside a coffee can in a dryer.
My voice is like a nut inside of a coffee can?
You know what I mean.
That sounds like a good liner.
That's not very nice.
With a voice. just like a nut inside the coffee.
A metal.
You should get business cards with that.
No, you know, a metal, not a squirrel kind of nut, a metal kind of nut, rattling in a Folgers can, going down a hill.
Should I speak in more dulcet tones?
Thank you, Candy, please.
I listen to smooth jazz all the way home.
Oh, that would be fantastic. Do we have any smooth jazz?
That would be great for today.
Wasn't one of those stations that once upon a time?
I'll have to go to the kitchen. There's a big basket of it in there.
You know the single worst thing you could hear right now?
No.
The single worst noise. Let me see if I have it. Let me see if I have the single worst noise.
At least 10 children were on board the chartered bus. They were among the dozens killed when the bus crashed through a barrier and plunged down a ravine.
Jesus Christ.
Okay.
I don't even know what that is.
I think that was the wrong cut.
Taken to hospital.
Well, you're turning
the accident
off.
Happened.
Stop.
Along.
It's like a voice from hell.
Everyone everywhere is dead.
Everyone's burning and dead.
We're all on fire.
If you don't call with your pledge within 5 minutes, we'll play it again.
I was trying to find the screaming Chinese woman from yesterday. Wait, hold on. Here we go.
China is a...
Hold on.
Exports to China. We don't agree on everything. He recognizes that...
Try immigrant.
He recognizes that... As the China...
No. Wait.
Both sides agree to...
You're
getting worse.
Wait. Ladies and gentlemen, worst hangover noise ever.
Yeah, that has to be saved.
Oh, Jesus, I'm putting that right up here in the keep file.
Yes.
What was the thing about children burning to death? I have no idea. Oh, I wish I was dead. Have I already said that?
That's what happens when they go on long trips in overcrowded buses.
We're here with the lovely Sarah X. Dillon. How are you feeling?
Oh, my God.
Somebody just... Here's the thing. It wasn't even actual liquor. Somebody said the word vodka to you this morning.
And I almost vomited.
And you just started to hurl almost. Oh.
I had so much vodka. Oh, my God. Oh. And then I ended up staying up till like... When I actually have to go to work.
You called me at 4:52 this morning. 5 a.m. you called my phone this morning.
Yes.
All right. Well, we'll talk about that in a second.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, working on the following stories today. Tim Riley, inexplicably perky at the city desk.
Okay, we have all kinds of things to cheer people up. We have a local nail-in-the-head story. As OHSU removes a dozen from a man's brain.
Fantastic.
That's here. We don't have to go elsewhere for that. There are more protests for the Chinese president. There's a new Star Trek movie on the way. And who forced Whitney into rehab? We'll have details and speculation coming up.
Okay, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm sorry.
You've got to stop.
Fantastic. All right, so here's what happened to me last night. Well, if you were there, you saw, we're all there. We'll talk about the party. We'll talk about it, we'll dwell in it, we'll roll around on it, and then Monday we'll try to scrape it away from our brains. So I got home at like 2 or something, probably 2. And I'm already thinking, I can sleep a little bit. I don't have to get to like 8.
No, you can't do that.
I'm a manager, but they'll let me slack a little bit. I'll come in at 8. See, and the general manager's gone. Mark Whalen's gone. So I'm like, no one will know if I come in late. I don't even need to shave. So I go to bed at 2. And, of course, you know, I'm just all amped up and I can't sleep. And so I finally drift off at like 4. And then, like, something taps on the window. It's like a cat and the dog who's sleeping, like, at the foot of the, you know, the floor, the whatever. Starts going crazy at 4 a.m. And then my wife, Lars, to get up to go to work at 5.
And I'm calling you drunk at 5.
She gets up at 5. And then at 6, she comes back into the bedroom, wakes me up again. She's like, I'm sorry, the truck won't start. I have to take the car. And so it's like, and so I'm woken up every hour on the hour. But the
ride
worst
your
part,
bike to work.
The worst, yeah. The worst, that's going to happen. The worst part was at 4:52. Let me just tell you, let me play you Sarah's cell phone ring. Here's the cell phone ring when Sarah calls me. When Sarah Dillon calls me, this is what it sounds like. Let me find it here. Now, can you turn this, can you pause this or whatever? All right. So I want you to know, this is what it sounds like when Sarah called it. This is her ringtone. Now, picture this not only, like, echoing inside your party-bruised brain. Picture it happening at 4:52 in the morning when you have, in fact, been asleep, kind of, for 3 hours. You are, in fact, halfway through your sleep cycle for the night before you have to come to work. Here's Sarah's cell phone ring. Listen to all those high-pitched tones. Now, picture that happening about 6 inches away from your head at 4:52 after you've been home desperately trying to fall asleep. All right, are we done with the mono bed? Is it finished?
No, we can keep going.
All right, might as well.
You can do a three-hour monologue if you so desire.
Let's not. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Here's what's coming up today. We'll talk to Jim Roop.
Ugh. About what?
Wait, no, don't tell me. We're going to talk to Jim Roop about gas gouging. It's really just an excuse to see
you
if
you... Maybe make something up.
We had to say that because we want to get him on so he can make us feel better about our lives. Gary Baumgart is going to be here later on. We'll talk to Scott Daly from Film Furtador. Don't forget, Scotty J, intern, is in the house. He's screening your calls today. And so forth. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go to your personal savior at the City Desk. It's Tim Riley.
From higher top to bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon. CBS. Am I talking too loud?
Everything is so loud. Everything is so loud.
Presents the City Desk News Beat. Keep around the reporting. Why don't we do this in a smooth jazz format today? A bizarre medical story out of OHSU. It involves surgery to remove a dozen nails from a man's brain.
Thank you.
The injuries are the result of a self-inflicting nail gun wound. Several. But the man survived and surgeons say he's doing fine. Doctors say this surgery was very risky.
How did he get 12 nails in his head?
He didn't say.
Okay.
The case is so unusual it's being published in the Journal of Neurosurgery. So you got to buy it to find out. So pick it up at your local
newsstand.
Is there
a video? There's a picture?
Not a very good one.
Let me see. Well, you know, any nail gun... Well, boy.
Not very good.
A dozen nails from a man's brain. If anybody at OHSU, not that I would encourage you to violate the confidence or whatever, that word, confidentiality. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, theoretically speaking, because I know we have peeps at OHSU. If you know anything about this guy with a dozen nails in a man's brain, he's probably the one guy feeling worse than everybody who went to the party last night. So we would like to hear all about him. I got this email. This is from I don't even know if I should use this. This is from Nate.
He was there last night.
Some guys might be able to talk a chick into buying a couple drinks for them. I woke up with a car key. If any of your listeners are missing a car key, it's in my pocket, says Nate. Hmm. Sarah, are you missing a car key?
No, he knows who that is.
Okay. Whatever. It's all between.
He's just trying to be quirky.
It's between y'all.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Let's take a couple calls here. Scott, hi. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. How are you?
Hey, Rick. Doing good, except I think you infected me with the plague last night.
Dude, I think everybody everywhere on Earth has got liquefied intestines and whatnot. Yeah.
Something like that. Well, I'm the fat, washed-up inner rock god.
This is Scott. Scott Summers, this is you. So you took part in the Unleash Your Inner Rock and Roll God contest last night.
Yes, I did.
You were fantastic, by the way. Is it true? Now, we did this thing about halfway through where four guys got up on stage and they sang Rainbow in the Dark. Was I completely missing something, or did you not actually know any of the words to that?
No, I knew absolutely, the Dio song.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I didn't know any lyrics, so I just kept throwing out vowel sounds, hoping something would hit.
That's okay, because it kind of mixed in with the crowd murmuring.
You made up for it, though, with style and panache, sir. And you are a larger man. You're a person of size.
Yes, I am, and I also wore my special boxers because it was the kissing party.
Thank you. Now, am I wrong about this, too? I'm having trouble today drawing the distinction between things that actually happened and things that I sort of had in a fever dream last night while I was trying to sleep. Did you take off your pants at one point on stage?
Yes, I did.
Okay, thank you. All right, I just wanted to clear that up. I'm trying to sort everything in my head into different categories.
And also, there's one additional part I would like to sort out. Sarah?
Yeah.
Hi, I just wanted to take responsibility and apologize for that little exchange between us.
What a little exchange. She has the blankest of looks on her face.
I grabbed her butt.
Really?
Oh, you did?
Do you even remember that?
You turned around.
You sure it was Sarah?
I felt that, Scott.
Are you sure it was Sarah?
Oh, yeah. Very sure, because she came down on stage after I did on the rock concert.
All right. Well...
But, hey, if she doesn't remember it, then no, I didn't do such a thing.
It's like it didn't even happen.
Thank you for apologizing.
All right. You're a good person, Scott.
It happened several times.
Here's the thing about Scott, because you didn't really know any of the lyrics, but, again, you just sort of went out and you wailed a lot of, whoa, And again, you're a bigger man, but you sort of were really into it, and you were kind of sweaty, and you had like a loud shirt on. You sort of divided the crowd. You were kind of a, you're like that Bucky Covington guy on the American Idol. People loved you or they hated you, sir. You made an impression.
I guess it was just a big old case of Scotty don't or Scotty do.
Okay, never say that again. Thank you.
Sorry.
Thank you, Scott. I appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you for the awesome party, Rick.
Thank you, brother. Thank you for being there. All right, there you go. Bye. All right.
Take another call.
Okay, fine. Wait, nail gun call. Hi, Charlie. You're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Yeah, I just wanted to let you know, I read it in the Oregonian. He was trying to commit suicide. I'm not kidding you.
With a nail gun?
Yes.
Nail gun suicide is the name of
a... He was like a tweaker, though.
Attention bans, nail gun suicide, now available for a ban. So he's some, tweaked up meth guy, and he tries to commit suicide by firing into his own head with a nail gun?
Yeah.
It didn't really work.
It's ineffective.
Yeah, that's not an...
You think that the tweak would put enough holes in his brains.
It's not really an efficient method of killing yourself. Why wouldn't you... I mean, I'm not encouraging suicide, but if you're going to do it, it seems like there are simpler...
Nail gun.
Well, I mean, yes, there's that. Or just a butter knife. It might take an hour or two, but you could do it with that.
I can see a new warning label coming out soon.
Yeah, do not point this at your head and pull the trigger. It does. How hard can it be to just kill yourself smoothly and efficiently? You know, people are just not as smart as they used to be, Charlie.
You have to go around the bend, I guess.
Yes. Charlie, thank you so much. You have a pleasant and pleasing voice on this Friday. Thank you. In a day of much harshness. Thank you, Charlie.
Have a good one. Bye-bye.
All right, there you go. Bye. It's good to hear pleasing and pleasant. And... All right.
Let's take another call.
Okay. Are you the little voice that's in my head today?
I am.
You're like the you're the thing. Okay.
Trying to help the process along.
Thanks, Mike. Since Sarah and I are so incapable, I'm incapable of doing anything but leaning against this microphone and muttering. Sarah is just slouched against the countertop over there, unable to really produce in any demonstrable fashion. It's really all on Tim Riley's shoulders today. It's all being driven by him. This is like that Zeppelin album where Jimmy Page was on heroin and John Paul Jones had to do the whole thing. Dennis, hi.
How are you, sir?
Oh, it's Dennis Pitzenbarger. Not that we're not glad to hear from you, but you also have... You have a voice, Dennis, that might be described as being... It's a little... Your voice can be a little overpowering. It's a powerful voice that you have.
I'm sorry. Is this better?
Now, yes, it is. Now, were you at the party last night?
Absolutely, I was at the party last night.
I didn't even see you. I saw Matt. Where were you?
I was over by the control booth. I had said hi to Joni and Aaron, Geek in the City.
Yes.
Didn't have a chance to say hi to Sarah, but we tried to, as we were saying hi to Sarah, Brandon, and say hi to you, but you had then somehow magically transformed yourself onto the stage just like that.
They're called stairs. This is Dennis Pitzenbarger with the Portland Tribune, by the way. Yeah, there was a lot of people there last night, and there was many people there who were like, dude, I tried to get on, and it's like the people who were there that I didn't see, people that I thought were going to be there, that it's like you. I caught the back of a head at one point, and I'm like, is that? And then I never got to see them again. It was... What's that?
Can I say one thing?
Yes.
As your promo for the show leading up to, you had said the one thing you can't miss is the opening of the listener party.
It is true.
I have to give a special shout out. Joni, that put together that opening, the video opening, glitch, was one of the best things I've ever seen. And whoever didn't make the party missed out on absolutely spectacular.
I got to tell you this, too. In fact, you go to rickemerson.com. We have a little blog posting about that. Joni DeRoshi, our good friend, the woman behind Bigger Than Jesus, put together an opening film. And it played like 5 times flawlessly in rehearsal. And then we go to play it, and it goes to the blue screen of death, and they had to start it again. But it was really brilliant, and actually it's posted at rickemerson.com now. It's like a YouTube posting. So if you missed it last night, or if you want to see it again or whatever, go to rickemerson.com.
It's for just people that went to the show. I mean, that is something that you should only be able to get by really making it to something like your listener.
No, it's at rickemerson.com, so go check it out. Well, thank you for being there, sir.
All right, see you later.
Thank you, Dennis. There you go. Dennis Pitzenbarger from the Portland Tribune. Yeah, that video that we played at the top. And the thing is, like, we actually brought our own DVD player with us because we're like, well, we don't want it to, you know, in case it screws up. But then literally 5 times we rehearsed the opening and it played flawlessly. So then we are backstage. Here's a little behind the curtain, literally. So we're there backstage. We're all, like, pumped up. We're like, woo, let's rock, you know, or whatever. And we hear the video start, and it gets to, like, the Andrew WK music part, and it just goes silent, and you hear the boo in the crowd. And you know that only means one thing. That means that, like, something has gone belly up. And they had to play the video game for the beating. But it was fantastic. We weren't really able to talk about it on the air because I want to give it away. But we can all say now that that opening film we played last night, it's genius. It was pure, raw, unmitigated genius. You can see it at RickEmerson.com.
What?
I don't know.
And now let's continue.
I think it's a break.
Let's break now.
Oh, it's yes. Do any of us news.
Did we do any news?
We'll do some later.
I'm gonna go find some smooth jazz. Boy, Jack Black has a loud voice, too.
Yeah, so it's...
No,
know.
Just... Everybody's no, we'll roll today. With the rock. We'll just... Here's the power through it. To play through the pain.
Rock and roll without the records.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Rick Emerson Show continues after this. It is Friday, April 21st, the day after. Back after this on Johnson 970. No, there's like a list now.
I was like, what did I do with
Not Rob? You and Rob. Well, not that I know of.
No.
Oh, like
no
you don't even business. Remember. You don't even remember that guy grabbing your ass.
No, I was trying not to embarrass him. I think I kind of... I don't deal well when people grab me.
You and Storm?
I kind of snap. So I was kind of embarrassed. I remembered.
Well, anyway, so every time we do a listener party now, we've got... And with every party, the list grows longer of people... That we have to scour all the photos for. And, like, we have to delete any incriminating photos before they go up on the website. It used to just be Rob from the House of Rick. Because his head would always end up sandwiched between the womanly bits of you know, women. Now it's Rob and Sarah and some blonde chick whose name I forget. And then, like, Jen and, like, various members of whatever band is playing that night. Because somebody in a band, not last night's band, of course, but in the past, and you know who I'm talking about. In the past, we've had band members who were photographed in compromising positions with women that they shouldn't have been. You know who I'm talking about. I don't mean to be that guy teasing everybody with the thing I can't reveal. I'm just saying, do you remember a party, a bad party, a party we try to forget? And there was some macking. With one of the band members and a guy who was, and it was a whole lot of, my old lady can't see these, she'll kill me. Yeah, that's
yes.
Exactly what I'm talking
okay.
About. Okay. I'm sorry, I know how frustrating that is when you're a listener. You're like, tell me! For the love of God.
My friends are texting us at Jimmy saying how bad they feel. I almost swore.
Yeah.
My filter isn't
up. here's an email. Rick, subject line, placenta.
Oh.
Best party ever, blah, blah, blah. Nate, placenta, men's room, blah, blah, blah.
Is that still back in the green room?
Oh, for the love of God and all that is holy, blah, blah, blah. Too much to drink, Josh. No, the placenta went home with Jesse. I went home with Jesse.
Oh, my God.
The
Did
listener.
You ever open the Tupperware?
What? Well, this guy just sent me a big picture of his tongue. Why are people sending me horrific things this morning? No, you don't want to see it.
Okay. I think I'll skip that.
What were you asking me?
I don't remember.
Okay.
Oh, the placenta.
Okay.
I didn't... did you see it? I was scared.
Yeah, we'll talk about the placenta later.
Yeah. Yeah.
The magenta.
We'll do it later, later in the lunch hour.
It's the lunch hour.
All right. Wait. Joining us now, let's see, from CNN. I believe we have Gary Baumgarten here.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, joining us now live, let us welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. Oh, God, this is the loudest music ever. It's going to get me louder in a second. Hi, Gary Baumgarten from CNN Radio. How are you, sir?
Hey, what's going on?
Oh, we've had a bit of a night.
Bit of a night?
It was a bit of... We had our glorious return to the airwaves listener extravaganza last night.
And, cool.
Yes, and so it's a bit of an after effect this morning.
Could I not speak too loudly.
Hey, that would be so nice and so kind of you if you could maybe try to speak in a more dulcet tone. That would go miles and miles towards ingratiating you with the Rick Emerson Show.
You should have invited me. I would have come in for that.
Really? Well, see, we got Roop who wanted to come in too. See, I'm telling you, man, this is it. Next time we do one of these things, which is going to be a long, long, long time from now. We're trying to get all of you guys in there. We'll try to get you, try to get Roop. We'll make a whole CNN night of it.
Excellent.
All right, hold on. I've got it together. I'm able to operate professionally today. Hey, I saw a couple of my favorite keywords in the news this morning. One was, first of all, by the way, that hideous strike in New York got averted, right?
It did.
All right. But more to the point, I saw organized crime and I saw the word Gambino this morning, which is fantastic. Now, I thought, look, I don't understand something. The government, on the one hand, constantly claims that they have crushed and debilitated organized crime.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the other hand, you read about how, I'm reading here, the reputed head of the Gambino crime family pled guilty to racketeering charges Thursday. And so it's the reason I'm interested in this is because I was talking to somebody the other day in Portland, of all places. And the guy was talking about strip clubs or something. And he said, you don't even really know how many places in the great Northwest are still run by the Gambino family. And I'm like, wait, the Northwest America, like Oregon? And he said, oh, yeah, the Gambino family, they're still really powerful in the adult entertainment industry in the Northwest. So I thought that organized crime had sort of faded away, that it was sort of that it had been broken.
I don't think it's broken. I don't think it's quite running as smoothly as it once did, because these guys snitch one another out now. In the past, they would never break the vow of silence, but you see that happening now. But, you know, they keep doing stupid things, and you know, you can't make this stuff up. You know, this guy, Arnold Squitieri, he's the guy who was heading the Gambino crime family, allegedly.
Of course. Yes.
Get this. He pleads guilty to racketeering and extortion only after the judge agrees to not accuse him of being with the Gambino crime family.
So exactly who did he racketeer on behalf of then? Just sort of like himself or just
an
like...
An enterprise that engaged in racketeering they worded it in order to elicit the guilty plea.
Now see, people, the guys in my audience especially, we're all fascinated with the mob and, you know, there's the Sopranos and all of that. And is it true that these guys have like, you know, like waste management and like concrete paving businesses? Is that really what they use for fronts?
Sure. Sure. In this case, it was they were extorting money from construction companies and transportation trucking companies. So, yeah, it's all in that area. Construction, trucking, waste management. Yep.
I do have a question about this being the Gambino crime family, because the guy, is it still, I mean, it's a dumb question. Is a guy named Gambino still in charge, or is that one of those things where it's like the Sands Hotel, but it's like really run by Motel 6 or something?
There you go. Yeah. Yeah, we leave the light on for
it's a, it's a fran- Do they just franchise it out now?
No, it's the same family, but it's just, you know, they keep lopping off the head, and so somebody else rises to the top.
I think that's going to be my next big goal in life, is to start some sort of mafia family with my name attached to it.
You know, I went once to Philadelphia. They were holding a fundraiser for the head of the mob there.
That's fantastic. See, that's...
Because he couldn't pay his legal bills.
It is the city of brotherly love.
That's right.
All right, so the next time we do a listener party, brother, we're going to bring you on out here.
Cool.
We're going to bring you on out, and we'll paint the town puce.
Excellent.
And we'll make it you and Roop, and you can bring that Lisa Goddard along if she seems like a party girl.
I think she seems like a very nice person.
Okay. Thank you, Gary Bob. You have a good weekend, man.
Have a great
man.
Weekend.
Thank you. That was a sinister little laugh at the end.
He knows a little bit too much.
Somebody's got a photo. You know, the funny thing is, I met somebody last night who knows Lisa Goddard. And I don't know if I can say who it is or not. It's, I'll find that. It's like a 2 degrees. We know somebody.
Who knows somebody?
Well, that's the thing, is we here on the show, on the Rick Emerson program, we have a good friend whose significant other knows Lisa Goddard. So we're like a degree and a half away from her.
What kind of a girl is she?
I don't mean for that to sound stalky, the way it probably does. Oh, God. Rick Emerson Listener Party 9 was last night. Let's go to Steve in the beef. Everything is funny to me today. That's like that wacky, snacky, cricky, cracky thing that we used to play. Steve and the Beeb, how are you, sir?
Hi, I'm doing great, Rick. I just want a couple things. Just wanted to thank you for an awesome time.
How is it possible that you're doing great? How is that possible?
Because I had a four-hour time last night. And to boot, I had to get up this morning. And I left right after a storm left the stage.
Mm-hmm.
Had to see who the mystery guest was.
Yes.
I had to get up at, well, I was going to get up at 4, but I said, to hell with that. I got up at 5:40, 5:30, and had to drive to your old neck of the woods, sort of, Wenatchee, Washington.
Why did you have to go to Wenatchee?
I service Wells Fargo ATMs, and I was just here, and I was also in Kennewick, Decibel of the Northwest.
Boy, it's just nothing but glamorous pit stops for you, my friend. That's one heck of a tour.
I'm everywhere. I'm everywhere. I do Oregon, Washington, and Idaho. I get around.
Ask for more money. Whatever they're paying you, it's not enough.
I got more money for taking on Washington.
Fantastic.
But, I had to drive all the way out here for a problem that I thought I had fixed, but wasn't fixed.
All right, so let me ask you this. Your opinion, Steve and the Beef, highlight of last night?
Oh, jeez, Storm. Storm is so awesome. But that and the placenta thing, I didn't really think there were going to be a real one. You pulled that out, and the corner of the bag was filled with blood.
Oh, hey, Sarah, how's that breakfast? How's that breakfast sitting?
And then Sarah sucking on that cigar, toking on that cigar. I thought she was going to Peter there a little bit. She was getting a little lightheaded from
You were really pulling down the smoke from that cigar. You know, you're not really supposed to.
I didn't inhale.
Okay.
Well, I saw a couple of times it looked like you did.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You looked a little woozy. The guy was like, do you want me to light that? And I'm like, no, because I would have passed out. There's no way.
Yeah, I was trying to light you for you, but I don't know.
What is the deal?
Also, kudos to Mark, one of the medal losers.
Yes.
He stepped in between a fight last night.
Oh, somebody told me that there was a brawl.
Almost right in front of you.
Right in front of the stage there.
At the very end.
I was talking with him. He said, wait. And you scooted right between his eight. Chill, guys.
Now, what was the nature of the fight? Do you know?
I really don't know. It was just a couple of guys started pushing each other and everything, and Mark, boom, jumped right in there.
I heard that there was now, this is not anything to do with us, to the best of my, it wasn't on premise. I heard that across the street in the Space Room parking lot, at the end of the party, I heard there was a brawl that erupted in the parking lot of the Space Room last night, which is fantastic.
Oh, well, hell, it was outside. It doesn't matter.
Screw it.
It was a nice night for it.
It's Southeast. What are you going to do? All right. Thank you, Steve, from the Beef.
The weather over here is beautiful, dry as hell.
Yeah, but it's Wenatchee.
Yeah, it's Wenatchee.
So it's just nothing but dust and child sex rings.
I'm heading up in the mountains here pretty soon. Going to lose signal, you know. There's in the no phone zone all around this area. But when I'm out and about in different parts of the states and about, I'll call you up can't get you on my radio.
Thank you, my friend. And we will see.
I'll just give you a little weather check.
Please don't.
Tell you how beautiful the armpit of this town is.
All right, I'm moving on now. Steve,
thanks a lot.
We'll see you soon, brother. Thank you.
Adios.
All right, there you go. I don't need to know what it's like at Wenatchee. I know what it is. It's Wenatchee. That's the answer to your questions. All right, let me just, let me read a couple, some emails. Subject line of this email is, your voice today. Jesus, Rick, did someone belt you in the mouth last night? You sound like you have a mouthful of dry ass. And then he just says, ha ha, Z. what are you going to do? I'm ready to go do like that Urban Quiet Storm radio. I'm ready to go play like some Who Wants to Hear Some Peebo Bryson. All right, here's Tim Riley in the Johnson 970 newsroom.
Well, listen to this. Protesters all over the world have descended upon Yale University in New Haven, Connecticut, where Chinese President Hu is delivering a speech today. Here are the sounds of a President Hu.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Here are the sounds of a protest. We don't know if it's as good as yesterday's, though.
Oh, you have to turn this up, sir.
Yeah.
Oh.
He has the wrong chorus.
I don't understand this soundbite. There's like 80 things happening at once here. I don't understand this soundbite.
Well, that's the Hu chorus. And
I don't know.
Oh.
I just hit my face into the microphone.
Oh. That's the Hu chorus.
This will be the president
like Hu. Overlapping sounds like there's church happening in the background.
This, but boy, you know.
Maybe the Chinese are trying to drown out the protests.
I got
to
tell you, today's show makes that Mount Hood radio sound like, like Edward R. Murrow. I don't understand that soundbite. There's like a Russian choir in the background.
No, it's Chinese.
Okay.
Okay.
Just what you need today.
Thank you.
What's next here?
I don't know.
Well, there are reports of gasoline outages in the Washington, D.C. area. John Townsend of the AAA says there are at least a few there are some dry gas stations out there and more in the future, but there's no need to panic.
We're cautioning drivers against hoarding when they hear these reports or against panic buying. If one gas station is out, just simply go to the next gas station. It will have enough fuel.
Okay, what the hell kind of accent is this? Hold on, let's listen. This accent is...
We're cautioning drivers against hoarding when they hear these reports or against panic.
Oh, that's an Asian accent.
If one gas station is out, just simply go to the next gas station. It will have...
It's like an Asian Texan or something.
He's speaking dulcet tones.
All right.
12 illegal aliens were arrested in a raid at a Portland pallet plant. This is part of that nationwide thing. They were working on North Lombard. It was part of a sweep targeting 40 of the company's facilities around the country. There will be a groundbreaking on a fence along the Arizona-Mexican border Memorial Day weekend unless President Bush sends in National Guard and Reserve troops to secure that area. That's a word from the Minutemen.
Local ranchers in particular are frustrated. They have had enough. They're spending millions of dollars yearly to maintain their ranches, and we have, you know, we just don't know what else to do.
That's Minuteman Executive Director Al Garza, who says his group does not oppose immigration at all.
There's nothing wrong in immigrants coming into our land. We are virtually all immigrants in this country, but let's do it the right way. Come through the front door and sign the guest book.
He says the Minutemen don't see eye to eye with the president or Congress.
They feel that they're doing the right thing by allowing illegal immigrants to come in nonchalantly, completely unannounced, depleting our public services, taking jobs that Americans supposedly won't do, which is a fallacy.
Okay. I don't even know what we're talking about.
I'll just keep on reading. Stop me every so often. And just throw something in.
No, you know what it is? This is like that episode of The Sopranos where Tony's in the coma. And Pauly Walnuts is in the room going, and Tony, my ma, she's not really my ma, she's my aunt. And they cut to inside Tony's head, and it's just like, and Tony's hitting them going, quiet, knock it off. That's me. Everything is just like a low murmuring outside my ear canal this morning.
Okay, here's something to keep
and
your attention.
And Sarah's doing that thing, that face, she just made it now, that I've got mushrooms going on the bottom of my tongue face.
It's like I feel fine, and then... I feel like I'm going to throw up.
Can I just tell you what happened when we were during the break just now?
Yeah.
So we're at the break like 10 minutes ago. So I'm walking towards the kitchen to refresh my coffee. Sarah's coming out of the kitchen with a big cup full of coffee. She's coming out of the kitchen. I'm coming around the corner going to the kitchen. Just as I come face to face with her in the hallway, she goes and spits her coffee back into her cup. She literally like pukes her coffee back into her cup.
That's because... all of them were empty, and then the one, when I finally got coffee, it was old. It was cold and thick.
Oh, I know, you picked the wrong one.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's just the
it's
best.
Hard to imagine that Coke is promoting a drink that has old, cold coffee in it.
Coca-Cola Black. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it's coffee. It's like an iced coffee cola.
It's being marketed to African-Americans.
Oh, that sounds just wrong.
Seems like the best thing ever. It's bad marketed to who?
African-Americans.
Well, that's stupid.
I don't know.
Why? I don't understand. Why? I mean, not that African-Americans don't have a place of product, but why not Rick? Why doesn't Rick get Coca-Cola Black?
I suppose you could.
How do you pinpoint the demographic for that?
I don't know. I have no idea. And, you know, it wasn't such a good idea to go out and eat a bunch of bacon last night after the party.
What's that noise?
Oh, another unpleasant ringtone. You know, I am on the radio. People are aware, presumably, that I'm doing a... Hi, this is Rick. How can I help you?
Your car.
Hi. How are you doing? Hi, I'm fine. Can I call you back? Great, thank you.
No.
Okay.
Who was that?
I don't know. It was like one of those names that like a name you probably know. You know, it was like, hi, this is Cassandra. It's like, oh, great, okay. All right, there you go.
That was a touching story.
Mm-hmm. Who knows? She's clearly one of those things that, like, I've made some obligation to talk to somebody or whatever about something.
Yeah.
I have no, and it's better just to, and I feigned, it's like when you called me this morning, Sarah, like 4:52. The phone rings, and I answer it. And it's like, and of course it says Sarah. See, unlike now when it's just some woman, it rings this morning and I know it's you. And of course my first thought is you're dead. When you called me this morning at 4:52. No, when you called me this morning at 4:52, I answer the phone and it's you. But my first thought is it's Nate calling me because you have choked to death on your own vomit and won't begin to do the show and I gotta find Kirk.
Oh, I wasn't that intoxicated.
Well, not when you left. Not at midnight, but at 4:52 a.m. You can do a lot of drinking between midnight and 5.
I know, and at the water trough, you can get beer to go. Ugh. That was a mistake.
All right. Rick, this email says, I only remember... See, and this is the problem with having... And I'm not complaining about it, but I am. This is one of the problems of having a, quote, management position, is that, like, I have to take all these calls, like this woman, I have to take all these calls during the show. And you'll notice, like, I have to sound all bright and tight and out of sight. Mm-hmm. Hi, this is Rick. Hey, can I call you back? Hey, great. That, you won't mind? Thanks. Great. That's fantastic. Great. You know, and, Rick, this email says, I only remember snippets from last night because the bartender poured me a pint of straight liquor before the party even started. I recall the following items, she says, in no particular order. I'm assuming this is this a how it, Chris, K-R-I-S, woman, man?
That's a girl's name.
Well, whatever. I recall the following items in no order, no particular order. Reflecting for a considerable amount of time how anyone could possibly get any hotter than Kristen from accounting. Kristen looked good last night. Mm-hmm. Kristen from accounting was there looking very beautiful, and she never takes compliments. Kristen is, she's just, and I don't know whether it's like a ploy to get more of them or something, in which case it works, because I'm like, hey, you look really good. She's like, oh, stop. I'm like, no, you're beautiful, you look great. Oh, please. I'm like, no, really, you know, but she did look great. Let's see, what else? You snorting cocaine, Rick. Okay, it wasn't real cocaine, mostly. Wishing that the bass player would ignore all those other notes and just play the one that made the floor and my whole body vibrate. Yeah, that's a woman. Telling some delivery guy that I made the wah-wah sound. And I think... I swear to God, this is what it says. Telling a delivery guy that I made the wah-wah sound, and I think him telling me that he pees in his truck sometimes because he doesn't want to leave the truck to miss parts of your show. Good times. And she says, please to be clearing up the night's events. Chris, I'm going to be no roadmap when it comes to explicating or clarifying any of those things. Ugh. All right. Well, so you missed that last night if you weren't there. Mm-hmm. let's see, what have we got phone line? The whole show is going to be like this, by the way. Don't be expecting anything approaching quality. Christian, hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick, how's it going, man?
Oh, you know.
Hey, I had a great time last night.
Thank you, sir.
Like, your show is like completely changed my life.
In a positive way or in a way like you're divorced?
I woke up in a freaking random girl's bed this morning.
Woo! You're the new Oprah.
Yeah. Excellent. Fantastic. Good.
Rick Emerson Show got somebody else laid. Oh, I saw Tinker last night.
What do you mean? What do you mean somebody else?
Tinker.
He didn't get...
Started listening to your show, like, my love life has gotten amazing.
Okay. Well, fair enough. Was she still hot this morning? Well, she was drunk hot, though. She was hot when it counted.
She was hot when I was, like, S-paced at your listener party last night.
Yes.
Right. We'll need that testimonial for the marketing department. One sheet that they hang up on the wall. And get the prospective clients.
That'll be right between, where they break out the ratings and where they put, like, appeals to the following demographics. And, you know, this is our metro coverage area. But, like, also gets dudes laid with girls who kind of look okay the next day.
And I was sitting at a table with, like, two of the schoolgirls last night. And, like, oh, my God, those schoolgirls were so amazing. Hot.
No, let's talk for a minute about the schoolgirls.
It was my privilege to give them Twinkies.
Some guy pick up a freaking half-eaten Twinkie off the stage last night.
Oh, my God.
And, Rick, wasn't that genius of me? How many bites? Who can win the Twinkie eating cost?
We should hold on. I have to get my... I have to get the chair. I can't stand
And we had
anymore.
Just enough Twinkies to go around.
We did.
Plus award prizes.
Even extras for the winners.
Uh-huh.
All
I was waiting to slip in a filling.
Hold on, I gotta get a chair.
Okay. Why don't you have a seat?
I'm sitting down now.
Are you sitting down now?
I am sitting
down.
He
has no choice but to sit down now.
I got the day off because I know I was going to get so F-faced last night.
Bastard.
Hundreds of people have the day off after the play.
Some of them permanently. But let me just...
bottom lines are going through the toilet right now.
Let me just say, so let's talk about the schoolgirls. So towards the end of the party, around 8:30, because we have this long-standing tradition, and this is what really got the male sales force excited about this party, was I said we have this long-standing tradition where any female listener who comes as a schoolgirl gets a little prize, gets a little something, gets a whatever, and then at the end of the night, we try to bring them all on stage, just like a, hey, check out the hot schoolgirls, and so, hold on, wait. I thought I was going to vomit.
Wait,
hold on. No, it's passed. So, don't think about bacon, though. So I, sorry. So we bring out all the schoolgirls towards the end of the party, and they were all beautiful, by the way, because a schoolgirl, it's like, doesn't matter how hot you are before you become hot or hotter in a schoolgirl outfit. And then those two were making out. It was Bobby. It was that girl, Bobby, and Sarah, that girl who really liked you, the blonde, spiky-haired girl. She was beautiful. I mean, they were all beautiful, but she was cute.
She was absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, she was really great. And they made out or whatever. And then Sarah, and then this is fantastic. Our marketing assistant, Gia, who's also wonderful, who was fantastic and a very upright and proper woman, she came back and said, she's like, I think they deserve a fresca each. And I'm like, go with it, sister. Give them a fresca. And then Sarah... Somebody else had the idea of, like, we'll give them, we have Frescas and Twinkies, give them each a Fresca and a Twinkie, but then the piece de la resistance came from Sarah Dillon, and what was your idea?
My idea, well, because I know what the people want, working on men's radio stations.
You know how to play to the base.
And work at Coin 6, where they're to the point.
Exactly.
She's one of the people.
Yes.
I decided it would be a great idea to have a contest to see who could eat the Twinkie in the least amount of bites.
And many of the, and most of the girls, actually, just one.
Didn't even have one.
Yeah, they didn't even have to bite. It was just all inside.
It just disappeared.
Yeah, so, as Linda Lovelace said, they've had it up to here. With Twinkies. You know what I'm talking
about. I'm over at my father's place right now, and I've got, like, food in front of me, and I'm drinking.
Are you drinking a Bloody Mary?
You're calling from my father's place. That's so fantastic.
Yes,
it's so perfect.
I went over to my... I got a cab from the girl's place last night. Packed my car at Zabala's. And then...
yeah, it'll still be there.
I went over to the space room and got a Bloody Mary.
They have the best Bloody Marys.
I'm over at my father's place getting a Crown and Coke and sausage and...
Oh, okay. Well, don't talk about pork. All right. Sir, Christian, we thank you. So we will remember this night always, Christian.
Oh, yes, always.
Thank you, my friend.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you. Call us anytime. There you go. Oh, yeah, don't talk about pork. Yeah, we had this great idea last night after the party was done. We're like, let's go get bacon. And, we'll talk. I can't even talk about it right now.
Yeah.
Looks like the economy was really stimulated last night.
Yes. And then today, though, it's all... Today, the economy's just gone into the crapper.
Everyone's taking the day off.
Everyone is... And the people who are at work are working badly. All right. Well, let's do one more here, then we'll break, and we've got some more calls.
One more what?
One more... What do you mean, one more what? You're the only person with a functioning brain today. Don't ask me. You have the news.
You haven't let Tim tell a single news story.
Well, I have one worth waiting for here.
Okay.
A giant beehive has been removed from a home in O'Skelly, Florida. Oh, this is a Florida. You don't have to find it today.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Wait, Florida,
I know,
sorry.
There's going to be a lot of work.
Okay.
This after tree trimmers noticed thousands of swarming bees. Beekeepers were found to remove the nearly 3-foot-long hive. Workers who discovered the hive feared they would be stung when they stumbled upon the bees. I thought they would attack all of us. But we were all right, said tree trimmer Brandon Ciappone. A beekeeper, Dick Fullerton, and his partner climbed up the tree and slowly lowered the hive down to the ground as neighbors watched. As Fullerton was removing the swarm, the hive broke.
Oh.
The thing turned over on the way down, and the wax doesn't have structure character. So we broke it up and lost the swarm. Nobody was injured during the removal of the hive.
Okay.
You want another one?
No.
Okay. Commercial?
I think we should probably... All right. I've got something worse than that, by the way. I was trying to find the single worst thing we could play. I guess we'll play it another time. All right, Sir Rick Emerson Show. We'll be back after this. Don't go anywhere. We will continue the recap of last night's listener party number 9 with your phone calls, email, and all of that. Plus, Jim Roop, don't go anywhere. It's Rick Emerson right here on Johnson I-70. Check my hips.